You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back, baseball family, to another episode of the Baseball Together podcast. Today, we are going to talk about Nick Castellanos, a couple of Joes, and Copa Hats are here right now.
Nine Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
All right, baseball family, we are really excited that you're joining us today. Brad is here. He's in his house.
I'm in my house this week.
That's what I'm saying. He's in his house. Yeah.
Yeah, this week I'm in my house. But we'll be jumping back and forth in the next few episodes. So.
That's right. So before we get started, I mean, we got a lot of current events we're going to get through, and then don't leave, because in the later episode, or later in the episode, we're going to talk about our favorite Copa hats. Minor League Baseball has released the Copa hats for this year, and there's some stories. It's going to be great. But before we jump into this, I have to share a personal little tidbit. Can I, Brad? Is that okay?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, so tonight, as we're recording this episode of the podcast, and baseball family, just to let you know, it is Monday, April 19th, 11:31 Eastern Standard Time. My brother, did I get that wrong? It's crazy, right? You be in Phoenix. My brother and his wife are on their way to the hospital right now to have their first child. So I'm very excited about that, and I'm very excited for them. And I like being an uncle. It's a good time. So anyway, very awesome. Good. Congratulations, Garrison and Jesse. And everything's going to be great. I'll keep you updated as I get text messages during this episode.
Very cool.
I am pumped. All right, family first, right? Baseball family. That's why we do what we do.
That's
here.
Right.
That's why we do what we do. Okay, getting into current events. Nick Castellanos suspension. Because he wagged a finger. He went up to Major League Baseball, and they upheld his suspension, actually. He challenged it, and they said, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you broke the rules. So I don't know what that's about.
I don't know what rule he broke, to be honest. Yeah, like, I'm still confused why he's actually going to be suspended. Because I get it if a pitcher is suspended for hitting somebody. That makes sense. Sure. And then the guy goes out to try to fight him. Like, that makes sense. But taunting has never been a suspendable offense to me. I get it.
Nope.
Eject the guy. Eject him.
Sure. I mean, okay. If it's egregious or it's the second or third time, sure.
In the NBA, they used to be like really, really like hard on that. That if you taunted the opposing bench, you would get a technical foul immediately.
And that's, I remember that.
Yeah, and they're not quite so bad about it anymore. But baseball needs something like that. They need some kind of more than just the warning, right?
Because
the warning is still kind of like players are just like, yeah, okay, we'll see. But if somebody got a technical foul, then you're like, okay, yeah, no, I understand. If I do that again, I'm gone, you know?
Yeah, kind of like a yellow card in soccer.
Yeah, exactly. There needs to be some kind of yellow card, technical foul, something in baseball if they're going to enforce this kind of stuff. Because if I remember right, I don't think Castellanos was even ejected.
No, he wasn't. No. Yeah.
Like, you can't retroactively punish somebody if the umpires were not... Like, if the umpires are like, okay, it's your fault, you're out of here.
No.
You know?
No, listen.
MLB can't be like, upon further review, you were the one who started this whole mess.
There are three layers to this, man. The first layer is everything you said. We need to let this slide. That's the first thing. Because it's gamesmanship, and it's totally competitive, and it's awesome. And if our players on the field are not allowed to be excited, how can we expect the fans to be excited? That's the first thing. Yeah. That's the first problem. Okay. Yeah. The second problem is this is the most ineffective use of instant replay we have ever seen in Major League Baseball. Because you're right. You said on further review. And it's like, man, that's – come on. And the third thing is this is Rob Manfred at its at his finest. It's not even him anymore. It's it, right? This is – you got Manfreded. Manfreded? We got to come up with a verb. There's got
to
be a word.
We need to put it on a T-shirt.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Man, no. You got the Manfred treatment or something. I don't know. We'll, baseball family, if you come up with a phrase that we like, we'll put it on a T-shirt and get a free one. You get in the mailbag and send us some tips.
There you go.
It'll
yeah.
be good. It's awesome. All right.
Yeah,
so
it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Like, I don't know. I don't, anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. You go ahead. I'm going to cool off.
All right. Take a drink. So Ryan Tepera of the, I hope I'm saying that right, of the Cubs actually got suspended 3 games for what MLB said, instigating a brawl. But this was because the Cubs have been hit multiple times. The Cubs are leading MLB in hit by pitch this season, by the way. But the series against the Brewers, he threw behind Brandon Woodruff, a pitcher, because he's like, no, I'm sick of it. We're not going to have any more of this. So since he threw behind him, he got suspended. None of the pitchers for the Brewers who were hitting the Cubs multiple
players.
Times.
Yeah,
and he
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think in like a 3-game series, Wilson Contreras got hit 6 times. That might be high, but that might also be accurate.
No, it was every bit of 4 or 5 for sure.
Yeah,
it was 4 for sure.
Was constantly getting hit.
I know.
But then a Cubs pitcher is the one who gets suspended. Like MLB really needs to evaluate their evaluation process. It doesn't sound efficient.
Bring in a third-party consultant.
It's something.
They clearly don't
bring
know
us
what.
In.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's right.
Because this is the thing. MLB is hitting the kid who hits back.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Yeah, they're punishing the kid who hits back.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't understand it. And it all started with the Astros, that they got so bass-ackwards that there was no explanation for why anybody was going to be suspended for hitting the Astros, other than Dusty Baker said, well, you really shouldn't. It's like, well, Dusty, you're old school baseball, man. Like,
Come on, dude.
You know your guys deserve this. And I know he's got to stick up for his players, but at the same time, like, let's be realistic.
Dusty's woke now, man. He's woke.
Something.
Okay, let's move on. The Twins and the Angels of Anaheim. That's a Bradism. They didn't.
That is a Bradism.
The Angels. They didn't play this weekend, and the Twins still did not play on Monday because of COVID. Now, again, there are a number of teams putting a number of players on the COVID list. Who did we see as the Astros? They put another 5. I think it started with 7, and now it's 5 players on the COVID list as well. So we've got some outbreaks. And what we're noticing is that the players don't want to get vaccinated. That's largely at least what seems to be happening. We're not in the clubhouses. We don't know what the Houston Astros are actually doing together, but there's plenty of COVID outbreak, and we don't really know why. It's like at this point, come on now.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, you had a year to kind of figure out how things work, and then now you would think that by this point it would be like, okay, this is what we can and cannot do, so let's not do it so we can play baseball. Let's play some ball.
Yeah.
Let's play some ball. Right?
Let's play some ball. Yeah.
I believe that's from a documentary, but anyways.
That's from the documentary. It was.
Yeah.
That's what very well said. Yes.
Yes. But I'm just curious, like, how long is this going to go on? The Nats had issues opening weekend of the season.
Oh,
seriously?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come on now. And now you've got the Twins. You had the Astros missing a bunch of guys. And the Astros, like, I'm curious how many guys you have to be missing to not be able to play. Because, like you said, the Astros had between 5 and 7 guys, and they still put together a team and went out and played. On the road, even.
Right. That's not taxi squad alternate site stuff right there. That's it. And here's the problem. You bring up a good point, and I have no way to substantiate this. So let me make that clear. But it feels an awful lot like strategery, is what it feels like. I know that's not a word, but it feels
depends on who you ask.
Well, it feels very, very deliberate. And I think, I wonder if we're going to maybe need to see some sort of curtailing if this is the new game that we're able to play in Major League Baseball, right? Don't just say you have COVID and get on the list. Yeah. Like with the Tatis injury, right? Goes out, shoulder, it looks bad. He's writhing in pain, you know, and then – and then, whoa, he's back for the L.A. series.
It's and L.A. Bring him back.
It's L.A. You got to play against L.A., especially if you have a chance to win. So the guy anyway, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just saying it feels like there's a certain degree of gamesmanship being utilized or exploited, perhaps, with Could this be. COVID list, COVID you know, IL, and it bugs me, but if it gives you a competitive advantage, they're going to take it.
Yeah, because how many of these teams are going to have COVID, positive COVID tests come August or September? Really?
Well, I hope none, but here's the problem. This is what I see happening. You know, the teams are getting ready for to play these other teams, right? They're strategizing, they're building their lineup, and they're building their pitching rotation. They're building everything to satisfy what they expect to see from the opposition on the field. And then if at the blink of an eye, right before the series is about to begin, everything changes, that's where I see the strategy coming in. Right? That's that's like, oh, no, we actually have a different third baseman today.
Yeah, well, there's that, but there's also, like, if somebody has a minor injury, but they don't want to go on the 10-day IL, or you want to give somebody a couple days off without, like, giving them a couple days off, you know, for whatever reason, that you can just put them on the COVID list and then they can come back. Oh, you know, maybe it was a false positive. Maybe we, I don't know, you know, I guess he got over it quick because we had a couple of negative tests right away. You know, I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. It feels weird.
It just feels weird. That's all.
I feel like the only way you could fix it would be to make teams start to forfeit games. But they're not going to do that, though, unfortunately.
No, but that's a pretty dang good idea, man.
Because they came close in the NFL. Because there are a lot of teams that had a lot of issues. Yeah. And they're like, you know what? If you can't play the game, like, we're not going to push the schedule back any farther. We're just going to have you forfeit the game. And that was the legitimate threat that they had in November and December.
Yeah, I think actually something like that makes a heap of sense in baseball. And it would have made even more sense during the 60-game season had it not been the very first time we'd seen it. But it's not now. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of opportunity because we have teams with disproportionate schedules right now. I mean, if you look at the standings, there are some teams who've played – it's not half of the games, but it feels that way, right? You look at the Dodgers, they've played every single game. And then you go to, like, Philadelphia or Washington, they haven't played every single game, and it just looks weird. You're like, why have you only won four games? Well, the Dodgers won, like, 12.
They have. And one of the things that stinks about it, like, I'll just finish up with this, is that the team that was fine, like the Mets, did not have any issues. But the Nationals were the reason that they had to postpone that series. So the Mets are going to have to make up those games later. And that stinks for the Mets because that's going to mess up their pitching rotation. It's going to mess up their bullpen. And if those games don't get made up till, you know, I'm sure they'll get made up first half of the season, but say it happens in August, they have to make up those games in September. The team that was healthy is punished.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and think of the injuries that could come up later that you don't know about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it really bugs me that you've got teams that were healthy, were doing everything they're supposed to, following the protocols, but then they're going to be punished at the end of the season by messing with their bullpen, risking injury, messing with their starting rotation come September. And it bugs me. It's a whole competitive balance thing, and I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right, we got to move on past this really quick.
Yes.
I'm just going to lead this in, and then I need you to be the one to talk about it. Because
okay.
I can, but I don't want it. The Yankees, I'm going to say the Royal we, are in last place. I got to own it when we're bad too, man. I just, you have to. right? Not like all the Yankees fans that are currently Mets fans.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's fine. All anyway, they're in last place. And here, I got to tell you, one of the things, and we talk about this a lot, right? I'm a Yankees fan, but there's something different. There's a different breed of Yankees fan or something. I don't understand. Who are okay with throwing things onto the field due to bad performance. And especially on Jackie Robinson Day. I mean, this is, I'm so angry. I don't even know how to be right now. You know what I mean? Like,
That's a whole different kind of, like a whole different breed of fan anyway, who's going to throw stuff on the field. That makes me mad every time. I really get upset when that happens. But
except for the one paper airplane in L.A.
Well, that's
that was kind of different. It was kind of funny. I don't know why that's different, but it was.
Well, you know what, though? You know what's funny is that's not something that's A, new, or B, exclusive to L.A.
Oh, for sure.
Because I remember when I was, I was little. It might have been the first game I ever went to. We were at the Kingdom. The Mariners were playing the Yankees. And I remember two things from that game. Legitimately two things from that game. One was anytime there was a foul ball hit, there was a slide whistle. Like, whoop, you know? Like there was that. Because I heard it a lot and I was little. I was like, what is that noise? The other thing I remember was people throwing paper airplanes onto the field. I remember the left fielder. I think it was the left fielder, right fielder. I don't know. Anyways, one of the outfielders who was like pretty much right in front of us kept stepping on an airplane that was thrown onto the field. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's
like,
different than
we're like
fans.
Little.
That's different than fans being irate. And
it is. It is very different. It is incredibly different.
A step up from booing your pitcher off the mound, which happens in New York as well. And that's fine. I mean, it's not my favorite thing, but there's nothing wrong with it, right? It's fine. Right. I was booing Tyler Clippard in 2016 too, okay? From my armchair. I was like, boo. You know, I got it. Okay, if I'd been there, I'd have been on the chorus. Totally. In my robe and everything.
And the players know why they're being booed. Like Bryce Harper said last year or 2 years ago, whatever was his first year in Philly, he's like, yeah, I'd boo me too. I've been playing terrible.
Yeah, like, exactly.
They get it. They get it. Yep, they know why.
For sure.
But this is my big takeaway from this whole thing, Brig, is that things have gotten so bad in New York that Jay Bruce retired.
Yeah.
Now, to me, that says there are bigger issues than what's going on in the field. This extends to the clubhouse. When I heard him say or saw the thing come down that said that he was going to retire after Sunday's game, I was like, oh, ruh-roh. And that was the first thought I had. And then immediately I thought back to the 2010 Seattle Mariners. Another player who happened to be my favorite player of all time, Griffey, retired in a similar fashion. Things were really, really bad in Seattle. Really, really bad. And he just peaced out in the middle of the night. Called the Mariners when he's in like Montana or something. Said, "Hey, I'm retiring. I'm on my way home. See you around, I guess."
Sorry,
but
I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. And what it boiled down to was that team had completely given up already, and that was like May, right? Like they gave up on the manager. He had completely lost the clubhouse, and it took them into 112 games into the season to fire Don Wakamatsu, the manager.
Right.
And here's the thing: that's even crazier. Is in 2009, the Mariners went 85-77. They finished 2010, 61-101.
Wow.
So I think, this is what I think, there is some kind of issue in the locker room. I don't know if there's a mutiny pending. I don't know if they're just major lack of chemistry issues, and we're going to hear about a clubhouse fight here pretty soon as guys kind of sort things out, because that's not uncommon. That is not uncommon. That happens quite a bit.
And not in New York. It's not uncommon in New York.
Well, and I mean, I know of three in Seattle in the last 10 years, and I'm sure there's been way more than that.
Yeah.
You know, like that whole thing on, is it Major League 2 when they have the brawl, like their own brawl in their clubhouse or in the dugout? Yeah. Like that, The only thing that's fictional, fictitious about that is that it spilled off, spilled onto the field from the club or from the dugout. You know,
right? Yeah,
that's exactly. A real thing that happens, and I wouldn't be surprised if we hear about this happening in New York pretty soon.
Well, I will say that tensions are high anyway. So, regardless of what's brewing under the surface, and that might be a contributing factor, something is going, like, it's going to come to a head anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either there's something wrong and these are the symptoms, or this is what's wrong and it's going to boil over. It's going to be one of the two. It has to be. Or I guess there's a third option. They pull themselves together. And
I'd like to think. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You like to think.
No, I'd like to think that maybe Jay Bruce is the problem. And he's bowing out. He's like, okay, I'm so sorry. I'll leave now. You go back to being 100% better than when I got here. Can you do that? Okay. It's better for everybody. Got it. I'll just
that
leave.
Is hopeless optimism, Brick.
Dude, but. that's delusions of grandeur is what it is. That's next level. He's a clubhouse guy. That's crazy.
Yes, he is. Because I was going to say
100% delusional.
I feel like one of two things is going to happen. Okay, there's going to be a brawl, and then either the wheels are going to fall off, and Aaron Boone is going to be fired by August, maybe even July.
Yeah.
Or the other option is there's going to be a clubhouse fight, and everything will be just fine. Everybody will be happy and go lucky and get along again, and the Yankees will go on and win the division. I don't know.
Well, somebody needs to fight soon, though, because it's going to have to happen soon. I mean, the wheels are already falling off.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's getting really,
it's getting
really
bad. And they're going to not be able to right the ship in enough time if they're not careful. But you're right. Like, the way dudes work, the way men are, for whatever reason, is if we can duke it out really quick and just settle it, things typically improve. And then you hug it out and you move on. You're like, now you're best friends, you know? So it's not always that way, but when it happens that way, it's common. It's not uncommon. So maybe that is what happens. But I'll tell you, I can't tell you how many errors I saw. And you know, when I say errors, I'm talking scorecard errors. Mm-hmm. Like, if I was scoring the game, I would write E. But also, it's like stupid stuff that I'm like, what is going on? You know, I'm super upset just on Saturday's game alone. It's just, I sat there and Olivia, she could only get through about 4.5 innings. I had to make promises. I'm like, yeah, you can have a large marshmallow at the end. As soon as it's top of the fourth, you can have a marshmallow. And then when you get to the fifth, if you can get to the bottom of the fifth, then we can, you know, you can have this treat. So I have to bribe my child to watch baseball with me, which is fine. She's 4. It's okay. This is building blocks. This is how it goes. But when they play so dang poorly, it's hard to keep her engaged. New York.
Yep.
Okay.
It's true. Yeah. 100%.
And then you throw stuff on the field on Jackie Robinson Day. I'm so mad. All right.
All right, let's talk about Joe West for a minute.
Let's get some Joes in here. A couple of Joes, actually.
Yeah, a couple of Joes. Let's start with Joe West.
All right.
So Joe West won a $500,000 defamation suit against former player Paul LaDuca. Brig, you want to tell us what LaDuca said?
Paul LaDuca accused Joe West of rigging the strike zone. Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah.
No, now it gets better. Not just rigging the strike zone, but he charged West of rigging the strike zone in favor of former New York Mets pitcher Billy Wagner in exchange for use of Billy Wagner's 1957 Chevy. He said, listen, this is what has happened. Okay. Billy Wagner's getting favorable treatment in the strike zone because of a car that doesn't even nobody gave Joe West a car. He just got to use it for a little while. And that warranted throwing games, basically. Come on. So anyway, the point is all this slander Is it slander or libel when it's publicized?
That would be slander because he said it slander, on a podcast,
yeah.
Right?
Libel is when it's just verbalized, right?
Okay. Well, libel is written, slander is spoken. You learn that right. Actually on the first Spider-Man movie, the very first one.
And also, let's just give a nod to the Utah Valley University journalism program.
There you go, yeah. Media
they
ethics,
did a terrific job.
Appreciate that.
We knew that. Thanks, Jim and everybody else. All right, so I hope they're not listening. This is bad. Anyway, let's narrowly avoid libel ourselves and slander really quick. See, I just screwed it up again, man. I figured I had that. Anyway, the point is, LaDuca, he just says that Joe West is guilty of rigging the strike zone. That's
and point. You know what? There's a really easy way to fix this. You know that, Brig? Just a what? Simple solution so that this doesn't ever come up again. You know how you fix that?
You mean after the fact?
Well, I mean, just like Major League Baseball could look at this and be like, yeah, that's just, whether he did or didn't, that's not a good look. Let's just fix this so it's not an issue anymore with the strike zone, and let's just do automated robot umps.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? You found a way.
I'm not kidding you. There it is. Just going to set that there.
So a Manhattan Supreme Court judge, we said, moving beyond this, ruled in West's favor, okay, not long ago. This was on Monday, and ordered LaDuca not just to pay the $500,000 fine, but also interest. I don't know where you're tacking on interest.
Yeah, I don't know
this
how that
allegation.
Works.
I don't know what the vig is on that deal, but I got to figure that out. Right?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that interest rates are so low right now, you know, because I save them a little bit of money on that. But anyways, okay, let's talk about our other Joe here. We have Joe Buck. So for those of you who don't know, Jeopardy right now is doing celebrity guest hosts. Like, it was big news in the sports world last week, I think, because Aaron Rodgers was hosting.
Yeah.
He actually has thrown his name in the hat for the full-time gig. He wants to replace Alex Trebek. And I heard he was very good. And a lot of people are like, yeah, he'd do great. But Joe Buck is now going to guest host Jeopardy and throw his name in the hat for the full-time gig. Brig, and real quick, though, before anybody gets too excited about this, he would still call baseball games because it's only like a 42. Like, they record, like, what, 42 episodes a year or something like that?
And yeah, so, it's not that much. It's and very they do short it in like time commitment. He could do both.
And they do it in, like, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. So he'd still call baseball games, so don't get too excited over it. Brig, do you think Joe Buck would do well as a Jeopardy host?
100% terrific.
Yeah, I agree.
Now
he's just snarky enough. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. I was going to say the same thing. It's just he's cheeky. It's not even really snarky. Snarky has a bite on it. He's not snarky. He's cheeky, right? He has it's the same as Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek could be so friendly, and it was so dry whenever he'd scoot in a little dig or a little I think you totally blew it there. It's going to be a step up in animation from that. Obviously, he's going to bring his own style to the table. But Joe Buck he'll be cheeky. That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be interesting. But here's the thing. This is what I was excited about when I heard this. I thought, look at what has happened to Alex Trebek. Everybody loves him, right? This storied career, this enormous track record of success, this long-lasting streak of episode after episode, and all this stuff, right? He became like this game show host hero. And with all the trouble he went through at the end, it's really tragic. And everybody kind of felt the weight of it, right? He was a household name for years. Mm-hmm. I think that's Joe Buck's best chance at overcoming this Joe Buck thing he's got going on. So for
whatever
my
it
money,
is, yeah, I think you're
whatever
right.
It is. For my money, I think that if I were him, I'd be throwing my hat in the ring as well. Because I would want the one, maybe of two, maybe opportunities to become a household name for a very positive reason.
Yeah,
and he's only got about 30 years left to prove himself. So
yeah,
maybe 25. I don't know.
But here, this is the thing that I worry about, though, because like I know that that The Price is Right records a ton, that Drew Carey just went and only does, like, he, like, only does The Price is Right.
Yep.
Right? Yes. You know, you never see him doing TV movies. Other, yeah, no more Whose Line, which is a bummer.
No more Whose Line. Sad.
But I'm curious if Joe Buck would get, like, really comfortable with Jeopardy and just be like, ah, this is cool. It's nice and cushy.
He
worked a few weeks.
He would. He, no, he totally would, dude. And he would slide right out of sports, except they would call him in to do
the World Series.
The Super Bowl and the World Series. Yep, stuff like that. Like, big time stuff. They'd bring him in for the Olympics, maybe, if Bob Costas isn't available. Stuff like that. That's exactly what would happen. Yep.
Mm. And I feel like a lot of people would be very happy about that as well.
They say what?
Very happy. I feel like a lot of people would be very happy about that as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, right, before let's take a quick break, before we take a quick break, right, let's talk about Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah.
Because he went on, they mic'd up Anthony Rizzo, I think, and Freddie Freeman, right, during the Cubs-Braves game.
I don't know that Freddie Freeman was mic'd up during that game, but I know for sure Rizzo was, as evidenced by the video.
Well, the video is terrific. If you haven't seen it, you jump on Twitter and watch this video, because Freeman gets caught in a rundown, right? He gets caught in a rundown. There's a pickle, and freaking Anthony Rizzo says, "Frederick!" runs after him.
The best is some photographer got the best picture, and it was Rizzo getting ready to toss the ball to I think it was Javi Baez made the tag to make the out, but Rizzo's getting ready to toss the ball to him. He's got a big grin on his face. Freeman's sliding and he's laughing hysterically. So funny. It's a perfect picture. I think I'll see if I can put a link up to both of those in the doobly doo, because it's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, you got to see both of those. They're awesome. So good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Funny. I think we need more of this in baseball, because it's a really good human element. Like, you know, we talked about the strike zone being the human element. That's the wrong human element. The right human element that we need right now is this one. Because baseball players get a bad rap of being too serious.
You're the wrong human element, but this is the right human element. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back to discuss our Copa picks of 2021.
If you're anything like me, you wish you could read more, but life has you up and moving at breakneck speeds. Driving back and forth to work, dropping off and picking up kids from school, cleaning the house, and much, much more. When do I have time to sit and read an actual book? That's why I use Audible. I can turn my car into a rolling university with Tom Verducci. I can investigate the 1919 Black Sox scandal while vacuuming my stairs. So if you want to learn from Joe Torre, Jackie Robinson, and Jeff Passan, you can with Audible. Click the link in the description to get your first month free and support the Baseball Together podcast.
I'm Jason.
And I'm David. And we're the hosts of the Non-North Sports Podcast. We're the home of sports talk for everyone. Join us bi-weekly as we talk about the happenings in sports.
You can find the Non-Letter Sports Podcast on Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever else you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, baseball family. So we have, actually, I think this is going to be something we do every year, because I love this. It's a ton of fun. We love the Copa de la Diversión caps that Minor League Baseball does every year. You'll notice that we are wearing hats backwards. That's going to be part of a reveal and a story later, actually. So we'll get into that.
Oh, yeah. But,
so what we're going to do is we're going to do our top four Copa caps each that we think are the best. And as per usual, there will be a runner-up that will be revealed in the end. So basically, we're doing our top five is what it comes down to.
I suppose.
Yeah. But so
fine, put a pin on it.
Something like that. But but Brig, do you want to lead us off with your number four Copa cap?
I do.
Okay.
So this cap, actually, I don't know how it didn't make it into last year's voting. But it didn't. Because I did a little bit more digging. I'm now talking too much. But it's a 2018 hat. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. 2018 hat. And it. I'm trying to find the team. But it's the original Los Toros Copa hat from 2018. And that is super exciting. And we'll put a thing on the... We'll put pictures of it up. But basically, yeah. It's black. It's Vanderbilt colors. It's black, white, and that Vegas gold tan, okay. Creamy tan color. And it is slick. It's a V, and it's got a... But the V has cow kind of intimations on it. Like kind of like black and white. Like, and then...
Oh, like spots?
Like spots, but they're not. It's not spots on the V because the V would be obscured, so it's kind of on the edges okay. coming in. And then there are horns, and it's all in black and white and that Vegas gold. And the white on the hat itself, so it's a six-panel hat, and the two outermost panels are white. And then there are four, two in the front, two in the back that are black, the squatchy, the eyelets, the new era design on the left-hand side, and the principal color on the design itself are that Vegas gold. So it really jumps. Like I said, it's like the Vanderbilt colors, mm-hmm. and I love it. I think it's just awesome.
That's awesome. That's one thing that I think is cool about the Copa caps is that they have the colorful, like the really bright colorful ones like I'm about to do, but there's also like the really bold black and gold ones that are really cool, and they do different things yeah. with the paneling like that. I've never seen a hat that's paneled the way that you described that. That is really cool.
So it's the, I just found it. It's the Vasilia Rawhide. It's the Vasilia, I think that's in California. Yeah, Vasilia Rawhide, looking really quick. Low A affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks in Vasilia, California. There it is.
Very okay. cool. Very cool.
I feel better. I thought I had that up, but I didn't. And then, sorry. Brad, what's your choice?
Okay, so my number four, I've got the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders, and their hat is actually like...
Barry. Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, Wilkes-Barre. Okay, thank you for correcting me on that.
You're welcome.
Out on the West Coast, we say bar. But anyways... So, so this is kind of like some kind of monster. All right. I think this is really cool. This is not something you would see on a hat typically. It's like some kind of lizard monster. It's got like sunglasses on, and the colors of this hat are like, kind of like a teal or a turquoise crown with a bright red visor brig. How about that? And
thank you. Oh man.
The squatchy is the same color as the visor, but the eyelets are navy blue. And this like monster thing is like a green like lizard thing with five horns, one on top, two on each side, and those are green and red with like some spots. And the sunglasses make it look really cool. And it's just got like I can't tell if it's being ferocious or smiling. Either way, I like the way that it looks. And then the new era on the side is actually like a neon yellow. And yeah. it's like completely mixed matched with the rest of the hat, but it looks really cool. It's a fun hat. It's something that I would just kind of wear just for fun. You know, it's like you walk around and most people be like, what is that? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's not important, but it looks cool, doesn't it? That's kind of the wear that I would get out of this kind of hat. And I think it's fun.
And so you're the two front panels are split in half, right? They're kind of, or maybe even two and two-thirds and a third. Is that the one you're talking about with the red visor?
No, because it's the whole crown is one color. And it's a standard
different one.
Six-panel hat.
I'm looking at a different Scranton hat. Okay.
Oh. All right. Well, I might have to look for that while you do your next one, Brick. Oh, I see the one you're talking about.
Out.
I see it. Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. Yeah, it's like...
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's kind of got like the
two
panels.
Oh, I see the one you're talking about now. Yeah, there it is.
I've never seen a hat like that. That's really cool. How it kind of comes
down.
Isn't
that cool?
At an angle across those panels. Instead of being fully white on those front two panels, it's like partial. That's really interesting.
Same design. Same principal design.
Yep. Everything about it is the same except for that interesting piece of white.
See, baseball family, this is why we love Copa, right? Yep. This is so much fun, and it's, man, it's awesome. Okay. And if you'll notice, I'm wearing a fitted hat. I just think
Mark
that those
of
you watching at home, you should know. Okay. This is a huge deal. Okay. All right. I'm going to get into my second one. My number two slot, let me see, is going to be the Cascabeles de Wisconsin fitted hat. All right, the Cascabeles, they're the rattlesnakes. And this is Cascabeles de Wisconsin. The cool thing about this hat, I'm going to look up who they're affiliated with really quick.
The cool thing that I think about this hat, Brig, because this was also my next choice.
Get out. Are you serious? Wait. Serious. There's multiple.
What's that?
There's multiple versions.
There are, and that's what I was going to say. That's the thing that I think is cool, is that there is the bright red crown with the turquoise or teal visor, but you can inverse it. You can invert it, and you have the teal crown with the red visor.
And the orange.
Is it orange?
No, it's orange. It's orange.
I might need to turn up
the brightness. That's the cool thing about it, is it's bright, bright orange. And so you get, it's almost like the Mets colors, but it's that turquoise blue up in the crown. And that's actually the hat I chose. So the New Era logo on the left is that yellow. It's a bright yellow, which is incorporated into the rattlesnake design on the front of the crown. And that rattlesnake design, I think, is pretty dang cool.
Yeah,
I love how loud it is. Yeah, don't you love how loud it is?
That is exactly what it was about it that I loved everything about it. Is that I like the, like, it's no secret that I love the D-backs rattlesnake design. And this was just
totally
taking it to a different level and adding a whole, just throwing a whole bunch of color on it and making it so loud. That's really what it was that stuck out to me that I loved about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So this is the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. And they are affiliated with the Milwaukee Brewers.
That would make
sense.
So
that's who they're affiliated with. I can't decide what level they're in, actually. It's a high A affiliate. Okay. They're the high A affiliates of the Milwaukee Brewers. So
very good.
All right, baseball family, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you numbers 2 and 1 plus honorable mentions, right?
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
You know what, Brig?
What's that, Brad?
I'm just not much of a coffee drinker.
Boy, I knew that. You're still stuck in your yummy phase.
Yeah, that's true.
So what exactly do you do to get it going in the morning? I know it is not a good night's sleep.
You're right, it's not. Instead, I drink Raz. I tried a ton of different energy drinks over the last few years to help me get up in the morning, and it is by far the best tasting. It's mildly flavored, yet still flavorful. There's no crash, so I actually feel like I can finish the workday when it wears off around 2:30.
Visit repsports.com. That's REPP sports.com. And use code BTPOD at checkout to support the Baseball Together podcast and to get 15% off your sampler pack, variety pack, or custom order of Raz Energy.
No matter which ballpark you're at, you want to rep your team. Now you can with 9+ Us. Welcome to the Big City Series. With every design available in your team's colors, you can fit in with the home crowd or stand out on the road. Either way, we have the colors you crave. Shop the Big City Series and find designs that rep your favorite baseball podcast, cheer from the cheap seats, and much more. Shop the Big City Series only at 9plusus.com.
Welcome back, baseball family. Before we get into our number one and number two picks, Brad and I have a special announcement to make and a little bit of a story to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
He was here in Greenville, South Carolina, not long ago. Okay. And we had a ton of fun while he was here. One of the things we were able to do is secure ourselves a handful of interviews, all of which you will be privy to in the coming weeks and months. However, one of them that we think is worth discussing right now is that we got to sit down with some of the staff at the Greenville Drive,
mm-hmm.
and the director of stadium operations and one of their executive account managers, which was really neat. We get a We got an episode coming where you're going to hear the interview that we did with them. We did a stadium tour with them and everything. And then the best part is, oh, I don't know if it's the best part. Boy, it's hard to classify what the best part is, right, Brad?
It really is, yeah.
But one of the fun things that happened is at the end of our stadium tour, after we'd conducted the interview, we had a great time. We took BP under the stadium as well, and we'll show you all the shenanigans that went with that. Brad broke their bat.
I did.
If you haven't seen the TikTok video, go on there and look at it. Maybe, you know, we'll put it up and make sure it's there. But anyway, the point is, Brad, we took BP under the Greenville Drive Stadium, and it was awesome. That machine was just all over the place. No wonder those guys in Boston know how to hit the ball, because their minor league system prepares them for everything.
They should come out of there hitting like Vlad. I mean, let's be real.
I'm telling you, man, you can't take a base if you get hit by a pitch in BP. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, that's right.
Even though Brad got hit by a pitch. Anyway, listen, that's a tease for TikTok. Get on TikTok and watch. Boy, that's fun. We had a lot of fun dodging balls and hitting some of them. Just a few, but we hit some. Anyway, so wow, at the end of everything, we ended up at the team store. And while we're at the team store, they announced to us casually, very, very casually on our way there, that they've got their 2021 Copa hats available. And the person we were talking to tells us that, yeah, the previous, like the last year, the way they kind of handled their Copa tradition wasn't their favorite, and the fans responded wasn't their favorite either. So they changed it up entirely, and they went with a very loud, very, very Copa-esque color scheme and everything. And Brad and I found our way into hats about a week before they were even going to be put on the shelf and released on the website and everything. It was really fun. They totally, totally hooked us up, and we're super grateful that we got the opportunity. So Brad and I both have agreed that for that story alone, in addition to the design itself, that Greenville, South Carolina, the Greenville Drive, affiliated with the Boston Red Sox, have our pick for our honorable mention this year. And Brad, should we reveal to everybody what the hat looks like?
Let's go ahead and flip it around, Rick.
Let's flip it around. So for those of you watching on YouTube, there it is, right there. Yes! For those of you listening who don't have the privilege of the visual, let's explain it really quick. The visor itself is this really nice powdered blue.
Mm-hmm.
The crown, the two front panels on the crown are white. The subsequent or back four panels,
the rest of the crown,
bright pink. The eyelets are white. The squatchy is that same powdered blue. And then on the front, you'll see Reedy of the Reedy River is the frog that is the principal logo here in that bright, bright lime green outlined in a very pronounced gold. He's wearing a pink cap, which is iconic now because this cap is pink. And then he's got this very distinct look on his face. But if you'll notice, under his white jaw, it's baseball stitched, Brad. And there are two bats that are not crossed, but they look like frog legs.
They do. And, you know, it was funny talking to, was it Roxy who was working at the team store there?
Yeah, that's right. Roxy.
So she had very strong opinions about last year's hat. Thought that it looked like a worm flying. Did not like it at all, but loves
flying
this hat.
Worm. That's right.
She was so happy to give it, like, to dig through boxes for us. So kind to find our right sizes and to sell these hats to us. And it was great. And when she finally like brought them to us, we're like, oh yeah, those are outstanding. This is one of my favorite. This is one of my new favorite hats. I love it. So
yep, she had to call her boss while we were there and say, okay, we've got these guys here. They just did an interview with these other two people, and we'll announce their names when we do the episode. But they just did an interview for their podcast called Baseball Together. They heard about our Copa hats. Can I sell them Copa hats? And they said they made us promise that we'd wait at least a whole week. So we verified that these hats are now on sale on the Greenville Drive's website. So if you go to milbstore.com/collections or you go to the Greenville Drive team store, you can find them. They're $32.99. It's a great price. And we would never plug a team this hard, but man, they really took care of us.
They
and
did.
Yeah, they did. It was a great time, man. We got to go. Mm-hmm. And you'll see this. This is another tease, but we got to go inside the scoreboard. They have their own little green monster. And I don't say little very lightly because it's not that much shorter than the one in Fenway, but we got to go inside the scoreboard. It's a manual scoreboard out in left field in Greenville, and they've done a terrific job, man. And I say this all the time. It's one of the most, if not the most, charming minor league baseball facilities in the entire country. I have not seen them all, so I have to recuse myself just a little bit. But of the ones I've been to, which is not an insignificant number, this right. is a terrific facility. So, anyway. Yep. All right, Brad, now that we've been loquacious enough about the Greenville Drive and this cool hat, how about we jump in and deliver our number two and number one selections? Do you want to go first since I probably should stop talking?
I'll go first. All right. So mine is going to be this is actually the high A affiliate of the Texas Rangers. This is going to be the Hickory Crawdads, also known as Llamas de Hickory for Copa. Mm. This is an outstanding hat because personally, because I'm a big fan of the movie The Emperor's New Groove, where David Spade yes. plays Cusco, who gets turned into a llama. This hat looks exactly like Cusco, has the same like Mayan, like kind of like a Mayan headdress that you would expect Cusco to wear. And it's actually kind of falls down over his eyes. Looks, I mean, it's almost like they took the drawing, like took the animation of Cusco as a llama and put it on the front of this hat. The hat itself is black, has a black crown, has kind of like an orangey gold. It's not quite the Vegas gold, but it's kind of an orangey gold visor. It's got a black squatchy, the button on top. And here's this, Brig. Hmm. The eyelets on this hat, you've got light blue, pink, yellow. Oh, sorry, that's purple, not pink, but purple, white, the same orange as the visor, and another like turquoise color. They're all different. All different colors.
Every squatchy is, or every eyelet's different.
Every eyelet is a different color, and it looks awesome. Stop. It's super cool. They're all colors that are found within the headdress. It looks really cool. I like it. And he's got something in his mouth. I can't tell what it is. It might be a cigar. It might not be. It might be some kind of party favor. I'm not sure. Either way, this is a great looking hat, and I would wear this all the time if I had it. In fact, that's it might awesome. Need to. I've got it at my number two only because of certain preferences, but it's close. It's close to my number one.
So I mean, that's amazing, man. It sounds really awesome, but I obviously didn't pick it because I have designs I like better.
And that's just fine.
Just kidding, Brad.
All right, Brig. Who you got next?
Yeah. Okay, so my next one is the let me pull them up. They're the high A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. And I know I'm going regional again here inadvertently, but the Winston-Salem Dash. Winston isn't a word. The Winston-Salem Dash are going to get my number two vote.
Isn't that the team? Didn't they change their name to the Disco Turkeys? Winston-Salem? With the White Sox?
They're currently the Dash.
Oh, man.
According to their very purple website here.
All right. Go ahead. You go ahead. I'll do some more research on that.
Okay. I'm very excited to hear what you have to say. Okay. Apparently, they're also at Truist Stadium, which is must have been a recent acquisition. Anyway, the point is, this is what they said on their description. Now, some of these minor league ball clubs really do not pay attention to the descriptions. Others of them go above and beyond, and I really, really like when they do. So this they've taken on the name Rayados, and that translates to the striped ones. And they say, quote, MILB.com, this is born out of collaboration with the baseball team and the Hispanic League of Winston-Salem. The name recalls the pinstripes worn from previous Winston-Salem teams, and the term Rayo is also loosely translated to Bolt, which is the Dash's mascot. So basically, baseball family, the hat is bright red. I love a bright red hat. I started this episode wearing a bright red hat. The Squatchy and Eyelets are navy blue and or purple. I do believe they're purple now on second glance, given the fact that they're purple. And their design is an R, but it's in very like jagged, punctuated design. And there are a couple of other embellishments, let's call them, in the design that come off in sort of a muted fashion that have a kind of a paisley nod to them. Anyway, the hat is bold. It is bright. It is fabulous. I love it. And it is understated, and that's why it's powerful. I love it. We'll show you. For those of you watching on YouTube, you get to see it. For the rest of you, we'll put a link in the doobly-doo.
Awesome. Okay, Brig.
Yep.
I have some news for you.
Send it, bro.
So the Winston-Salem Dash are now called the Carolina Disco Turkeys.
Is that a thing? That's what happened. Okay.
That is what happened.
So that means that this is their 2020 Copa hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the Dash were the high A affiliate of the White Sox. Yeah. And then this year they changed over to the Carolina Disco Turkeys, who, by the way, have the best name in minor league baseball. That is not a Copa name, by the way, for those of you who do not know. That is their everyday team name.
Let me explain something to you, though. That means that I got to get this hat right now.
Yeah.
Because even though it's fitted, I got to have one. And it's terrific. It's fabulous.
Excellent.
Disco Turkeys. Would you look at that? That's fabulous. Also, baseball family, it's worth noting that we just went through the currently available hats on MILB.com. So what that means is that some teams did not opt to alter their design or change the name for their Copa season for 2021, which means that we are taking from all previous seasons this year and determining which ones are our favorites. And that's probably why this one was not on my list last year, because we only went with 2020.
It's true.
Honestly.
Yep.
So that's a little disclaimer here on how we're voting. Okay, Brad, why don't you give us your number one?
All right, my number one, and I typically choose this team when it comes to anything minor league, because I like their logo, I like their team name, I kind of like what they're about, and they are their minor league affiliate for a team that probably my favorite team name in Major League Baseball. Okay, so this is the Bradenton Marauders. They are the low A affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Being someone who is obsessed, absolutely obsessed with Pirates, their Copa hat. It is. So they have two options. They have black, just a straight black hat with their Marauders, or what is it? It's the Barba Negras. I'm not sure how to say that in Spanish.
I think you got pretty close, my friend.
Yeah, that's as good as I'm going to get with Spanish. I apologize. My Spanish is not any good. And what it is it's a smiling skull with an eye patch, a pirate hat, and cross bats behind it.
Yeah.
They have an option where it's all black. I think it looks very good. But this hat is outstanding. It is very, very loud. It is a lime green crown with a black squatchy and a black visor. And you know what, Brig? I don't think I chose this one last year. If I had the Marauders on my list last year, it would have been their black one. But I will say this. My tastes have changed in the last year, and that loud lime green.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mine have too.
And it's just been a year. It's only been a year, but it's been a long year. There's been a lot that's gone on.
I'll tell you, that's a fact. That's an understated fact right there.
Yeah. So yeah. That's my favorite one, the Bradenton Marauders. Love it. I love everything they do, though. They have about 50 hats that I'd snatch up all of them, to be completely honest with you.
So for those of you baseball family that don't know, Brad and I have a very, very strong pirate thing going on. We don't know where it came from. Not necessarily. Brad has more of an association with the pirate thing than I do, given that he grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I don't know where mine came from. Maybe I just like anti-heroes or something. But the point is,
maybe
we really like the pirate thing. So if you can jump on our shop at 9plusS.com. We have a pirate line, actually, a whole collection of some pirate designs. It's pretty cool. Anyway, all right, let me jump into my number one. And this is a team I am absolutely certain I picked last year. I don't even know. Because I didn't go back and double-check what I picked last year. But the San Antonio Missions baseball family, the San Antonio Missions, they continue to wow me. I mean, I don't know another way to say it. They wow me with this flip-flop. And it's just, it's crazy. This flying flip-flop. They call themselves.
Well, you gotta call it what it is, though, Brig.
The flying chancalas.
Chancla. It's chancla. That much I do know in Spanish.
The flying chanclas. These flying flip-flops are killing me. And this year, the one I picked is a baby blue, bright, really pronounced baby blue. We're talking four panels on the crown and the visor's baby blue. The front two panels on the visor are bright white. We have it's actually a slightly different color blue on the base of the chanclas. And a chancla, excuse me, with pink thongs coming off to secure your feet to the actual sole, and then yellow on the outside. The eyelets are pink. The New Era logo is pink. The Squatchy is that same bright yellow that's outlining the rest of the design on the crown. I cannot get enough. I shut up and take my money is what I have to say to San Antonio. Now, for those of you excited about it, like I am, San Antonio is affiliated with the San Diego Padres at the AA level, and I have friends that live in San Antonio, and I'm sure they will attend more games this season as they are available. So I'm very excited about that.
Very nice.
I'm gonna have to order one.
I gotta ask you. I have to ask you, Brig. Do you know what a flying chancla is besides being a flip flop?
No.
So this is a cultural thing. I actually learned this from my wife, who grew up in Southern California.
Okay.
So the chancla is the flying chancla is a form of discipline.
What
in Hispanic cultures, I know for sure. I think there are some others. I don't know for sure if it's a Polynesian thing. I can't remember. Somebody correct me, please. But yeah, like if you're in trouble, the chancla or the flip flop will come flying at you, straight off the foot, right at you. Right at you. I've seen it a few times on TikTok too. There's a few people who post videos about the flying chanclas, and it's hilarious. It is the funniest thing, and it's a real like a real thing. I think it's amazing. It's so funny.
That's really funny. So okay, I was watching Coco from Pixar. Disney Pixar produced Coco.
Yep.
A handful of years ago, and they make shoes. They're cobblers, right? That's their whole thing, and they're in Mexico, obviously. And the one boy wants to be a musician, and they're against it because of their family history. I won't ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. But is that why they're all shoving shoes in people's faces? Is that the whole point? Like when they threaten people, well, they take off their shoes?
Part, I think there is one part where he says no chancla or something like that. They throw a flip-flop at him.
Get out of town. I'm going to have to go back and watch Coco.
Go back and watch it. It's in there at least once. I know that.
I am 100% buying this hat, and I am 100% watching Coco again.
Do it for sure.
Take that. I'm only Poco Loco, so it's okay.
but baseball family, let us know what you like as far as the Copa hats go. We are obviously in love with them. We get so excited every year when these things come down. In fact, we have our very own version of a Copa hat. I was wearing it at the beginning of this episode because thanks, Brig. I stole your hat. I stole Briggs' hat, for those of you who don't know.
He did.
I just put it on when I got there, didn't take it off, and brought it home with me. So this is actually a version of our pirate hat that Brig talked about. We call it the Dia del Mago hat. But like I said, it's our version of the Copa hat. And if you like the Copa hats, go get that one because it looks great. This one is the blue visor. We also have it in a pink visor and a black visor. Each is a little different with the design itself. They all look great, very sharp, very loud, like we like them. Yeah. So you can get that on 9plusS.com.
They also come in dad caps and flex fits as well, so you can jump on there and grab those if you prefer. Baseball family, don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts or iHeartRadio. If you're on Spotify, give us a follow. Just hit that follow button, and we'll be popping up in your Discover Weekly. Well, not Discover Weekly, but you know, we'll be following up in your Made for You stuff all the every time we drop an episode. So don't forget to jump in there. And if you have an opportunity to rate the show, if you love what you're hearing from us, drop us a 5-star review. That helps us. And if you know anybody that would benefit or enjoy the podcast, we'd love for you to tell them about us as well.
For sure. And like Rick said, like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Submit to the mailbag. Like we said, let us know what you think about the Copa hat. Send us your favorites. You can submit questions, comments, concerns, snide remarks, whatever you want through the mailbag. That is on baseballtogether.com. In the navigation up in the menu, just click submit to mailbag. It'll take you to the form, and it'll send an email directly to us. But baseball family, thanks again for joining us this week, and we will catch you next week.